Tonight I'm going to talk about healing. The word healing and health, these are interesting words. They're etymologically connected to the word wholeness. You could say in some sense a journey of healing is a journey toward wholeness. And right away we can see that, say, a path like Buddhism, which is designed to lead us toward our wholeness, is one that implicitly has a great deal of healing in it. And in fact, there is a great deal of healing in the Buddhist path. The word healing is not necessarily a word that appears in most of the classical Buddhist literature, but meditation and the other practices of the Eightfold Path are very healing. I think I would say that in many ways, healing is a kind of, you might say, almost proxy word for the sacred, a proxy word for God. And to that extent, it's closely related to what I would call other proxy words for the sacred. Words such as love, truth, beauty. And all of these are things that in one way or another afford some kind of healing. Certainly loving relationships, authentic loving relationships, whether they're romantic, family, friendships, can be profoundly healing. There are instances when truth can be very healing, especially when it's a truth that shatters some kind of illusion that we've been struggling with for years. You know, certainly I've had that experience many, many times of, living my life one way, and all of a sudden I realize, oh, wait, I don't have to live my life that way. You know, that kind of thing. And beauty can be very healing. Certainly the beauty of nature, but even the beauty of the arts. Music, for example, can be very healing. Now, I would say that there's this fascinating connection between healing and spiritual paths. And I think I would generalize and say that really any authentic religion, spiritual path, wisdom tradition is a path of healing. Now, of course, this may sound a bit anti-intuitive, especially to, liberal folks in the Bay Area when we think about the kinds of Christianity that are broadcast through the media, And one way to say it is that pain is very loud. And the people who go through the world creating lots of noise, lots of drama, lots of look at me kind of behavior, much of that behavior is driven by pain. You might say it in some ways it is an inappropriate attempt of the person to find healing, to act out in that way. And much in the same ways, I would say if we think about Christianity, now of course there are thousands of types of Christianity in the United States. The loudest ones tend to be kind of dysfunctional versions of Christianity. And in fact, I know many wonderful Christians. They're concerned with living a good life and trying to accept everyone and serve the poor and this sort of stuff. They don't make a lot of noise about what they do. They just do their thing, It's a funny thing about the media culture that it amplifies the things that are already loud. It makes them even louder. And so we have this profound effect, this profound sense of the dysfunction of human nature living in this culture. I think there's quite a bit of health and quite a bit of sanity in this country that is below the radar. But that's another topic. Another thing I'll say about healing is that it's spontaneous. there's a natural tendency in us, in our bodies and in our energetic structure, a natural drive toward healing. You know, you think about it, you cut your arm and it heals. I mean, you have to do, you know, basic stuff like keep it clean, that sort of thing, but it heals on its own. And there's a natural tendency in us to heal. And so it's funny, there's an expression, time heals all wounds, which is not really completely accurate. One way to say it is, if healing is so spontaneous, how come we don't just all heal right away? How come we all walk around, you know, with so much human woundedness? And it's because of our defenses. It's a funny thing about healing energy. Healing energy is powerful, but it respects the boundaries that ego establishes. And if ego says at some level, I don't want healing, then we don't get healed. You know, and that basically all defenses in one way or another are a saying no to life, a saying no to love, a saying no to some kind of healing. And so this leads to another big idea about healing. Healing is hard. It's hard to do the work of healing. And it's hard because it's about facing our defenses. And in all probability, the reason I have that defense is because I have some pain underneath that defense. And healing ultimately requires facing whatever is painful and feeling what is ever there. Really, feelings just need to be felt. That's all feelings need. But when we don't feel the healing, when we block the feeling rather than feeling it, then we're blocking the flow of life. And so it's a, how can I say, it's a very anti-intuitive kind of logic, walking the path of healing, because our human tendency, of course, is to move away from pain. Our human tendency is to say, oh, that hurts, I'm going to bury that, I'm going to ignore that, pretend it's not there. Sometimes this is what people mean, incidentally, by time heals all wounds, means that the wound gets so covered with defenses and concrete and everything else that you just don't feel it anymore. That's not real healing. The anti-intuitive thing about healing is we actually have to face our pain. We actually have to move into the places of those deep vulnerabilities. I remember a therapist once saying that one of the hardest things about his job was trying to get his patients on board with the idea that they had to be with their pain rather than run away from it, and that healing began with the being with the pain. And I think it's very important to understand, is something I often say, that pain is very loud, and pain in many ways is a kind of internal PR system. It's a very effective advertising system inside the psyche. So for example, there may be a voice, that some kind of internal critic voice or something that says, you know, you are worthless, or you don't deserve love, or some kind of, you know, some kind of painful message like this. And the mind is gullible. The mind is just embarrassingly gullible, because it gets a verbal message and it says, oh, well, that must be true. You know? The mind believes anything. The places that hold the deepest pain in us typically are from childhood. And if you think of how a wise parent relates to a child having a temper tantrum, you know, say a 2-year-old or something. 2-year-old might be having a temper tantrum and saying the craziest things. I want to eat cookies all the time, or, you know, whatever a 2-year-old is having the temper tantrum about. The wise parent, of course, doesn't give the child what they're asking for. The wise parent more or less ignores the verbal content of what the child is saying, but loves the child, gives care for the child, and gives the child a space to process everything the child is processing. And much in the same way, we have to do that kind of wise parenting to ourselves. The places of pain in ourselves that have these messages, the actual verbal content of the message is not the real story. I would say ultimately, and this is something that really has been impressed upon me in my own healing work, we're all made of love. And every part of us, even the parts that are crying out in pain, are made of love. And that to engage a painful place like that, and breathe into it, and relax, and let it relax, and let it, you know, feel whatever it's going to feel, and, you know, go through all of that, it turns out that when it's relaxed and integrated, there's love inside. There's love inside and tenderness that never was allowed to, you know, for whatever reason early in life, was never allowed, you know, out to play. It's something I've said a few times in Dharma talks that in many ways spiritual life is about loving that in us that feels unlovable, accepting that which feels unacceptable, and forgiving that which feels unforgivable. That's really in many ways the paradox of healing and the paradox of the spiritual path. There's another aspect of healing that has to do with gratitude, and this is a hard one. It's very easy to be grateful for the nice things in life. And it's a good practice to be grateful for all the things that we take for granted, you know, 2 healthy legs and our sight and all that sort of stuff, flowers. Much harder to be grateful for the painful things in life. And yet that, again, is something that gratitude in so many ways is powerfully magnetic. Gratitude invites all kinds of blessings, and so gratitude also invites healing. And there's a quote I really like from the poet David White. He said, "The lesson of Greek mythology is that when a god touches you, it is both a violation and a blessing." There's all these stories in Greek mythology about, you know, Zeus or Apollo, you know, coming down and they're fooling around with mortal women, and it usually winds up not so good for the mortal women. They've turned into cows or something like that. But at the same time, they wind up giving birth to heroes. And so what does it mean to be touched by a god? Fire is a god. There are a lot of people in this state that have been touched by fire in the past week. Water, wind, earthquakes, these are gods. Death is a god. To experience the death of someone that's close to you, or you know, having some kind of powerful experience of death. That is to be touched by a god. I'll share that in my own life. It's vulnerable to talk about this, but in my own teenage years, I attended 4 major family funerals. the most significant of which was the loss of my father. And on the one hand, it was an incredibly painful time to live through, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone else, that sort of thing. Yet at the same time, if I hadn't had those experiences, I probably would not have set out on a spiritual quest. I probably would not have been meditating for so many years and, you know, pursuing energy healing and, you know, all kinds of other things. And so with decades of processing, I can look back at it and say that it was both a violation and a blessing to have lived through that. Yeah, I'm not suggesting at all that, you know, the day after a life tragedy happens, you can be grateful for it instantly. It's something that really takes, decades to integrate that kind of perspective. So I have a quote sheet, as I often have. And at the top of the quote sheet, I actually have, this is from a Gregorian chant, Veni Sancte Spiritus, it come Holy Spirit. It's a chant they do every Pentecost. And I love these images. Oh, thank you. Cleanse that which is unclean, water that which is dry, heal that which is wounded. Bend that which is inflexible, fire that which is chilled, correct what goes astray. And just in poetic images, there's so many powerful metaphors there for how healing acts. Thawing out what is frigid, or lining up what is off-kilter, this sort of thing. It's also a beautiful, I highly recommend, go on YouTube and find this Gregorian chant. It is actually quite beautiful, the whole thing. From the Roman writer Seneca the Younger. The wish for healing has always been half of health. And it's so true. Again, as I was talking about, the one thing that blocks healing is our ego. And if I actually say I want healing, and if I'm willing to have the humility to invite healing into my life, that's half of healing right there. Rumi says, the wound is the place where the light enters you. A powerful, paradoxical one. The great alchemist Paracelsus says, the main reason for healing is love. This is a wonderful one from Novalis. Poetry heals the wounds inflicted by reason. The Christian mystic Thomas Merton says, to say that I am made in the image of God is to say that love is the reason for my existence, for God is love. Love is my true identity. Selflessness is my true self. Love is my character. Love is my name. Thich Nhat Hanh says, meditation can help us embrace our worries, our fear, and our anger. And that is very healing. We let our own natural capacity of healing do the work. Ram Dass says, healing does not mean going back to the way things were before, but rather allowing what is now to move us closer to God. Yoko Ono, in her own wisdom, says, healing yourself is connected with healing others. And it's absolutely true. All the energy healers that I've worked with have said over and over, it's one of the, it's just sort of one of the laws of healing, that when you give a healing to somebody, you get a healing, because the healing energy flows through you to them. The writer Rachel Naomi Remen: healing may not be so much about getting better as about letting go of everything that isn't you, all the expectations, all the beliefs, and becoming who you really are. The energy healer Barbara Brennan says, any illness is the direct message that tells you have you not been loving who you are, cherishing yourself in order to be who you are. And this is the basis of all healing. I don't know if I totally agree with the statement all illness, but certainly that is one aspect of illness. The healer Louise Hay says, love is the most important healing power there is. The author David Riccio says, our wounds are often the openings into the best and most beautiful part of us. That's powerful. Gary Zukav says, eventually you come to sand that love heals everything, and love is all there is. Gene Ackenberg says, healing is embracing what is most feared. Healing is opening to what has been closed, softening what is hardened into obstruction. Healing is learning to trust life. The actress and writer Lindsay Wagner says, I've experienced several different healing methodologies over the year, counseling, self-help seminars, and I've read a lot, but none of them will work unless you really want to heal. And that's the big one right there. If you don't want to heal, you can effectively block healing. The writer Carolyn Miss says, by far the strongest poison of the human spirit is the inability to forgive oneself or another person. Forgiveness is no longer an option, but a necessity for healing. Wayne Muller says, the greatest barrier to our own healing is not the pain, sorrow, or violence inflicted upon us as children. Our greatest hindrance is our ongoing capacity to judge, to criticize, and to bring tremendous harm to ourselves. If we can harden our hearts against ourselves and meet our most tender feelings with anger and condemnation, we simultaneously armor our hearts against the possibility of gentleness, love, and healing. The quote I mentioned from David White, and then from the songwriter Tori Amos: healing takes courage, and we all have courage, even if we have to dig a little bit to find it. Nicholas Spark says, the emotion that can break your heart is sometimes the very one that heals it. Jason Mraz says, transformation is my favorite game, and in my experience, anger and frustration are the results of you not being authentic somewhere in your life or with someone in your life. Being fake about anything creates a block inside you. Life can't work for you if you don't show up as you. And Philip Burke says, healing is the journey. The destination is yourself. The full pleasure of all the different aspects of yourself, your joy, your sorrow, your pain, your pleasure, all lead to the source of who you are. Only by having intimate contact with this source can you experience the fullness of your life. Only by fearlessly looking within can you embrace the landscape of your life and open yourself completely to all the love and compassion that lives inside you.